Going to be reading from Genesis 15. The bulletin says 1 through 18, and I encourage you to read it, but I'm only going to read down through 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir, no one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. We're going to talk about letting go and letting God. This is something that a lot of us have trouble doing. We have a lot of faith in God. We pray to God and we want things to happen, but we just don't seem to want to let go and let God do what He knows is right. There's a story of a gentleman that took his film. Back in the days when there was a one-hour film, and we actually used film instead of all the digital stuff today, he took it to one of these one-hour photo places and dropped off his film and left and came back an hour later. And when he came back an hour later, the same exact place was now a one-hour cleaner's. He walked into the store kind of confused, and it was the same clerk behind the counter. He said, I'm here to pick up my film. And the clerk looked at him kind of funny, and he says, Was that a suit or just shirts? He goes, No. It was 35 millimeter film. The clerk says, Was it to be pressed or just cleaned? The man said, It was film to be developed. The clerk said, Do you want to look through these suits to see if one of them belongs to you? The man, getting a little angry at this point, looks at the clerk and in a very tense voice says, I didn't have a suit. I had film. The clerk smiled and looked at him and said, Sir, do you ever watch TV? He goes, Yeah, occasionally I watch TV. Well, smile. You're on candid camera. Most of us remember Alan Funt and some of the things that he pulled off, and kind of got us wondering sometimes in these strange situations if he wasn't right around the corner. But life sometimes gets confusing, like the gentleman that dropped off his film at the one-hour photo, and when he came back, it was a one-hour dry cleaners. Life gets confusing sometimes. And I'm sure Abram got a little confused when God talked to him and said, You will have descendants as many as the stars in the heavens. And in another place in the Bible, it says, As many as the grains of sand on a beach. And Abram's got to be thinking, God, you're crazy. I don't even have one child. Where am I going to get all these descendants from? But God assured him that this was going to happen. And you can kind of see Abram's concern. He's 75 at this point. Sarah is 65. And he's thinking, this ain't going to happen. She's already gone through the change of life, and I'm just too old. But he remained faithful, and he trusted in God. And when he was 100, and she was 90, she bore a child for him. And I'm sure he's thinking, wow, God was right. But first of all, he had to let go and let God do what God knew was right. Of course, we all know that he tried to hurry things along and do it his own way, and had a child with his wife's maid, which kind of turned out to be a bad thing. And if you'll notice, whenever we try to intervene and try to do things that we think are right because we don't think God is doing what he's supposed to, it usually doesn't turn out right. So we have to learn to let go and let God. Let God do the things that He knows is right for us. I tell you all often that God provides for our needs. He doesn't necessarily provide for our wants. You may want something that you don't really need. God provides for our needs. And we also have to remember that God's timing is not our timing. His timetable's different from ours. He has everything lined out perfectly where it's supposed to happen, when it's supposed to happen, and how it's supposed to happen. He's got that all figured out. And just because we've been praying and praying and praying, and things don't seem to be happening, he's working in the background, getting ready to make things happen when he's ready for them to happen. In 2 Peter, he quotes the words of the psalmist and says, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day." And that's true. Time means absolutely nothing to God. There are different theories, but I think the common thought is that God lives outside of time. He sees all of time, past, present, and future. So time doesn't really mean anything to God. He does things when he knows it's right to do them. Albert Einstein came up with a good analogy of that. He says, "Touch your finger to a hot stove, and a minute seems like an hour. Hug your beautiful wife, and an hour seems like a minute." Time is relative. It doesn't really mean anything. Things happen the way they happen when they happen. And we just have to accept that. We have to accept that God knows what he's doing, and he's got things lined out for us. He's got our best interest at heart. There's a little girl that asked her daddy, when she was 3 years old, she says, "Daddy, I'd like a red convertible." And you can imagine, it'd be like Landry asking for a red convertible. What does she need with a red convertible? Daddy knew better, so he got her a red tricycle. When she got to about 13, she came back to Daddy again. She said, "Daddy, I still would like to have that red convertible." Daddy, knowing that she's not old enough to drive and doesn't have any business in a red convertible, buys her a red bicycle. Sometimes we ask for things that we really don't need, we really don't understand, and just like this dad gave the girl what she needed, God gives us what we need. Even though we might ask for something a certain way, God provides what we need. And we have to remember that and understand that. And we have to trust God. I want to relate to you a personal experience we've had recently. Some of you have heard this, because we talked about it in Bible study Wednesday night. Most of you know that we've been trying to sell our house. And we wanted to move to Butler County, but that just wasn't going to work out. We found a house that was built and hoped that we would sell our house in time to be able to get this house. Well, he wasn't willing to wait, and so that kind of fell through, but found out he was building a house next door to that one, and looking at the plans, it was more what we needed. And one of the things that we were doing is we were praying as a family, but we'd get down and pray in the evening and pray to God, "Make this happen. We need to know this is happening. We're getting frustrated here. Nobody's looking at our house. When are you going to take care of this?" And that's the way we were praying. Well, here a little over a week ago, Marilyn and I and Jessica kind of threw up our hands and said, "Okay, God, if it's meant for us to stay here, fine. If it's meant for us to move, fine. We're leaving it up to you. We're not going to tell you that we want it done anymore. We're just going to let you have it." The next morning, the realtor called, and another realtor wanted to show the house. She called a little bit later, and somebody else wanted to see the house that afternoon. And it turns out the people that looked at it that morning made us an offer. Of course, we countered and went back and forth a little bit. We didn't get exactly what we wanted for the house, but it was within the range that we were looking at. But here's the kicker. God provides, which he did, once we let it go. But we're thinking, okay, we've sold the house, and they just poured the footings on this one we're supposed to be buying. We're going to be homeless. But as it turns out, the people that are buying our house are from Ohio, and in their original offer, they put in there that they didn't want to take possession until June 1st. So our counteroffer to them was a little bit more than what they'd originally offered, and we extended it to June 30th, which would give 90 days to get that house built. They agreed. And they also came back and they said, you know, most people in that situation, if you bought a house and you were going to let the current owners stay in the house, you'd want them to pay rent or at least pay your mortgage. These people said, no, we'll let them stay until June 30th so they can get this house built, and all they've got to do is keep up the house and pay the utilities. So not only did God, after we let it go, sell our house, but on top of that, he gave us time to get the other one built rent-free for that period of time. So that's part of what prompted this sermon today. And one thing that we need to understand is that instead of kneeling down and praying to God and kind of nudging him and telling him what you want, get down on your knees and pray to God and say, here it is. I'm leaving it with you. You do what you know is best. And if you'll do that, he will provide what you need, and he will add a little bit more to it because he loves us that much. And that's the way he did Abram. He provided for Abram's need, and now most people on earth, no matter what religion you are, trace themselves back to Abraham. He was the father of great nations. He did have millions upon millions of descendants. God blessed him. So we've got to learn to let go. We've got to learn to take it to the Lord and leave it there, as the song says. Lay it at his feet and leave it there. John Ortberg wrote a book called If You Want to Walk on Water, You've Got to Get Out of the Boat. You've got to be willing to do what God wants you to do. You've got to be willing to follow his path. So when you want something and you pray to God and you leave it there, you've got to be willing to follow through. In this book, he talks about a lady named Miss Mears. She taught college-age, single young people for many, many years at Hollywood Presbyterian Church. She was a big influence on many well-known people we know today. Billy Graham, for one. Campus Crusade founder Bill Bright. Senate chaplain Richard Halverson, and hundreds of others. She was a great influence on these people. But she was frustrated because she didn't have what she considered first-rate material to be able to teach these people. And so she prayed about it. And after she prayed about it and left it at God's feet, she started a little publishing company in her garage, which today is Gospel Light Publishers, so she could have the material she needed to bring people to God. She also got frustrated with the fact that in Los Angeles, there was a lot of people that were kind of caught up in this rat race of the city and that needed some place to go just to get away. Get off the grid, if you will. So she went looking for a place on San Gabriel Mountain. She found what she thought was a perfect location. So she talked to God about how much she needed it. And then she talked to the man who owned it. And although he really didn't want to sell the property, he really didn't have a prayer, because God had it in his mind that this was the right thing for her to do. Got the property, and it's now a very well-known conference center for spiritual enlightenment. She also got frustrated because there was not any good single-volume introduction to the Bible that could help people understand what it's all about. So she wrote one herself and published it. And it sold thousands of copies, and it's probably still available today, even after she was gone. So things happen when you let things go and give them to God. But yes, you've got to get out of the boat to get your feet wet. God will tell you where you need to go. God will guide you where you need to be. But you've got to be willing to do what He guides you to do. So besides laying at His feet, trusting that He's going to do the best thing for you, you also have to be willing to do those things that God asks you to do. And you can do great things and further His kingdom or do whatever it is that you need in your life. Miss Mears, on her deathbed, made the comment that if she had it all to do over again, she would have trusted Christ more. And that's the way we should be. We should trust Christ more. Don't wait till you're on your deathbed. Do it now. Trust Christ. Trust God. Let it go. Let God decide what needs to be done. Abram finally did. Miss Mears did. And even helped follow God's direction. We've got to let those things go. And don't give up. God always answers. No matter what you pray about, God always answers. Maybe not what you wanted, but He always provides what you needed. He always answers. And sometimes you may think you want something, and He doesn't give it to you because He knows you don't need it. There was a Garth Brooks song, I think it was Garth Brooks, here a few years ago, Thank God for Unanswered Prayers. And he talks about how he had prayed to have a life with this girlfriend that he had, and it didn't work out. And looking back on that later as an older man, he realized that if he'd have married her, it was the wrong thing to do. Thank God for unanswered prayers. So God answers sometimes with no, because He knows better. He knows you don't need the thing that you're asking for. In 1630, John Winthrop sold everything he had, moved his family from England to the New World. He was to serve as the governor of the new Massachusetts Bay Colony. And before they disembarked from the ship and got on American soil, he gave them this motivational message and said, "We shall be as a city on a hill, and the eyes of all people are upon us." So when they got to the land, they found a nice clearing in an elevated place. They built some rudimentary huts, and this was to be their city on a hill. Well, the problem was that they were already malnourished. There was about 1,000 of them because the provisions on the ship weren't enough. They spoiled, different things like that. So as they tried to get settled, about 200 of them died. Another 200 of them threw up their hands and said, "I'm going back." So out of those 1,000 people, there was only about 600 that stayed. But he kept encouraging them. He kept helping them to work hard, build shelters, plant crops. And even though they suffered some terrible times, they survived. And over the next several decades, they built the city on a hill. And I would imagine if he were to come back today and look at the Americas that he started, he would be shocked at how we've grown and how big we are. But he trusted in God. They all trusted in God, left their homes and came to a place they didn't even know where it was. So don't let things discourage you. If you're praying about something, and you don't get an answer immediately, leave it with God. Trust Him. He knows best, and He will provide for your every need, no matter what the situation, whether it's buying a house, whether it's looking for a job, whether it's health issues, whatever it is, if you will take it to God and leave it there and trust Him that He's going to take care of it, He will take care of it. But you've got to let it go first. Quit trying to tell Him how to do it. Let Him decide, because He knows best. For He's God, and He knows all about us and where we need to be and what we need to survive. Amen.